Gospel good news, how to find eternal life. You know the narrow path?
What?
You know the narrow path to eternal life?
I do not.
Would you like to know?
Sure.
God created the world. Look around. You see the heaven and earth. My name is James, by the way. What's your name?
Devlin.
Got it. I got bad hearing, bad ear.
Oh, sorry about that.
God created the whole world. You look around. It's not an accident. You know, I just did a quick study. I just did a quick teaching. Scientists just discovered, you know, good science is always proving God true. Bad science, like evolution, is just trying to discount God and they can't do it. But good science. Scientists just discovered, because of echo sounding into the earth, that there is more water underneath the earth than all the oceans, lakes, and rivers on top of the earth. That's hard to even imagine. Yeah, they just came up with a study. And I just took people, some people listen to my website, and I do a lot of teaching online. You can check out don'tperish.com on that card. Genesis 7, when the flood happened with Noah. When I was a kid, I didn't grow up in the Christian faith. When I was a kid and people told me about the story of Noah and I heard the rain coming down, I thought, wow, it had to rain really hard to fill up the earth and go up to the mountains and all that. It had to rain really hard.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't say it just rained. You know what the Bible says? In Genesis 7, it says the fountains of the deep opened up. Genesis 7:11. Thousands of years ago, when some goat herder in the desert wrote that down, before there was any science, he knew there was a whole bunch of water in there because of God's Holy Spirit inspired. So the fountains drowned it out, and then it says when they receded, sucked back into the ocean. So God created the world. I'm kind of building a basis for God creating the world. It's not an accident. And God holds the world in his hand. And the big difference between Christianity, and I'm not talking about Catholic, Lutheran, Evangelical, Mormon, these are all made of man. These are all denominations. I'm talking about the biblical faith of God in Christ Jesus, Genesis to Revelation. So God creates the world. Adam and Eve sinned. One thing he said, don't touch that. They couldn't do it. They touched it. God says, you're out. But he was merciful. He didn't destroy them. And he promised a Messiah would come way back in Genesis. And that Messiah is Christ Jesus. He came fully man, fully God. And the big difference between all the world religions, Islam, Confucius, Buddha, Hinduism, New Age, everyone's reaching up to form their own God or try to find a way. Christianity, God the Creator, reached down to us. He sent Christ. Okay. And so Christ comes into the world, lived a perfect life. He needed to be the Lamb of God. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So he needed to be the Lamb of God. So he went to the stake. A lot of people know it as a cross. He died on a stake and they pulled him up and it made the shape of a cross because of the wooden beam.
Yeah.
But he died on a stake, the Bible says. And the reason that's important is because the Bible says cursed is anyone who dies on a stake.
Oh,
Jesus became cursed for you and me. So it's very important. The cross was turned into a religious relic by the Roman Catholics. You'll notice today people wearing them, bumper stickers. I get people walking by going, I got it. And they just hold up a metal object. It's meaningless.
Yeah.
It's who was on it. It's what he did and his resurrection. That symbol is meaningless. If they shot him with a 21 gun salute, would you have like 21 guns hanging on your neck?
Yeah, exactly.
Foolishness, right? So Christ comes into the world, lives the perfect life, and he dies, sheds his blood to cover your sin. I'll tell you how that can be covered. It's not automatic. And he rose again to defeat death. You're a young man. I'm probably twice your age. Death is coming for us. It is. It's coming for you. It's coming for me. The only people that won't physically die are the people that are alive when Jesus returns. He promised he'll come back. They're the only ones that won't taste physical death. Everyone else is going to die. And so I'm expecting, I don't know, either one. He could return in my lifetime, but I'm old. I'm probably going to face physical death. I don't know, but I live my life like he's coming back. I don't think he can come back at any time. I think he comes back at the end of the tribulation, but that's another whole topic. So Christ comes into the world, perfect man, God-man, lives his life, sheds his blood, rises again, and defeats death. And Jesus promised that he came to seek and save the lost. I was a lost man into the world and drinking and drugs and all types of things. And or not so much drugs, but seeking all the things of the world. That's one thing I didn't do was drugs. Everything else I did. I said drugs because I was just talking to somebody about drugs. And Christ came into the world to die and rise again. And he said, if you will by faith believe. And that isn't a head knowledge. Like, I know your first name and I just believe that. But I don't really know you and you don't really know me. So it's just a head knowledge, right?
Yeah.
But to really know someone is very different. Like, I know Joe Biden's the president of the United States, but I don't know Joe Biden.
Yeah.
But I know he's that. So it's a difference between a lot of people say, oh, yeah, Jesus. They just know of Jesus. They don't know Jesus. And how you know him is through his word. He said, we live by every word of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. So by his word, we know him. And he said, if you will by faith place your belief in him, which is not just a head knowledge, but an allegiance to follow. So like a military term. If you've ever known anybody join the military, you don't just say, I want the uniform, I don't want the haircut, I don't want to get up early. You don't do that. When you join the military, they take over your whole life, don't they? Cut your hair, uniform, they tell you how to do this, they tell you when to get up, when to sleep, when to eat. But the only time is when you're on leave. And they still tell you on leave, don't do this, don't do that. Because you got to you're representing us. That's what a Christian's supposed to be. Okay. But if you notice a lot of churchgoers, they don't represent God, they live like the world.
Yeah.
That's because they don't really know him. They're not born of him. So by faith, you can know Christ, and it's an allegiance to follow. The Bible says you must repent. Repentance is when you change your mind and your way. So you're going through your life, you probably see your sin, you probably see how the world is headed for destruction, you see murder, killing, and you go, none of this makes any sense to me. You hear about Christ, and this is what happened to me, and I said, he makes sense. The Creator makes sense. He's showing the way. And I had to change my mind and my ways. That's repentance. A lot of people think repentance is just feeling bad about my sin. It's not feeling bad about my sin. Here you go, ma'am. Take a gospel card.
Thank you.
Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Email us. My wife would love to talk to you. She's right down the street if you wanted to talk to someone. My wife's holding the gospel sign down there.
Oh,
so by faith, repentance, changing your mind, your ways, the Bible says you can be born from above. So what you need, you got a heart problem. If you're not born again already, you have a heart problem. You need a new heart and a new mind. That's what I needed. And just going to church don't get you that. Just reading the Bible don't get you that. America's inundated with church and inundated. There's like what? Last study I read, 4 Bibles in every house and everybody's got it on their phone. Is anybody reading it, studying it, meditating on it, and obeying it? Not so much.
No.
So by faith, repentance, you can be born from above when God sees a willing vessel. This is a process. Are you married?
I'm not.
Okay. No. When you get married, it's a process. It's not something that happens one day, is it?
No.
Hopefully not, because it probably won't last. That could be dangerous. It's a process. You meet somebody, you court them, you ask them to marry you. Then there's like a period where you go through to get ready. Then you get married. Then you live it out. It's a process. Salvation's a process. It's not raise your hand, say a prayer, go to church, get dunked in water. You're in. Nothing works like that. If you got a job, I have a question. Do you have to show up every day to get your check?
Of course.
Do they say, hey, we hired you once, you're in for good?
Not at all.
And that's what they've made Jesus out to be, is like this easy believe guy. Faith, repentance, you'll be born again. The fruit you're born again, I'm looking at a tree here. What's the fruit of a tree? Jesus said you know a man by the fruit of his tree. So if you look at a man and he talks worldly, acts worldly, dresses worldly, lives worldly, focused on worldly things, is he of God or is he of the world?
Probably the world.
Amen. So God says, walk in my ways. And Jesus said, without much fruit, you're not of me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you're a branch of me, you're going to produce much fruit, which is holiness, obedience, don't live like the culture, come out of the false church systems. Pagan Easter's coming up. This is a man-made holiday that God never ordained, and all the foolishness that goes with it. And the Sunday church system, God never ordained. Sunday's not the Lord's day. And all of this fleshly instrumental music and jumping up and down and everybody feeling good for an hour, then they go out and live like the world. God didn't ordain that. God ordained a blood covenant I'm telling you about. Jesus' blood covenant. And he says, come. Everyone's invited. Jesus said in John 3, whosoever can come. And so anyone can come, but you got to be willing to lose your life. By this faith, repentance, born again. The fruit of him is you have a desire to walk in holiness and obedience. And it don't matter. You're going to lose your parents. You're going to lose your best friend. You might lose your fiance. You might have to leave your job. It don't matter, because the Spirit of God is in you. You're living for eternity, not for this place. But if you start compromising, you start living for your flesh, you settle for a lukewarm church, which they all are, you're not being led by the Spirit. You're being led by the flesh. And in Romans 8, it says you can't please God to be led by the flesh. The flesh led Adam and Eve to what?
Sin.
So by faith, repentance, I'm being redundant because it's important. You must be born from above. Holiness and obedience is the fruit. And the last part of the gospel is like the marriage, is like the job, is like your U.S. citizenship. You got to endure in it. You have it today. It's a hope today. Tomorrow, you got to get up and show up for that job to have it tomorrow. If you're married, you're married today, you got the hope of it, but tomorrow you better be faithful, and next week, next month, but she better be, because it's going to end if you aren't. So it's something that you endure in. And America, because of the lukewarm, money-grubbing pastors and the false teachers on the internet, have been sold the idea that God's all love and that God's unconditional. All the things I just explained to you, are they unconditional or conditional?
Sometimes sounds pretty conditional.
They're conditional. God has never done anything unconditional. He told Adam and Eve, enjoy this whole garden. Don't touch that tree. Condition. Yeah. He told Abraham, you will be the seed. Your ancestor will be numbered like the grains of sand in the sea if you'll obey me. In the Old Testament, the prophets told him, repent and God will heal you if you'll keep his commandments. And Jesus is the same. In the New Covenant, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so it is very conditional, but the great thing is by God's grace and his love, and he is loving, he is graceful, he is merciful. That's why I'm out in the street today talking to people. I do this for a living. I don't make money, I support myself, but I do this full time. I retired early to do this. That's our house right there. Does that look like my van, you think?
Oh, wow.
With all the gospel vans, all the gospel signs out of, my wife's down there. We retired, sold everything we own. That's our house. And we travel the country. We do events. We stand out at religious places. I get to meet people like you that I can't meet. I have a large website, but if you don't find me on don'tperish.com, I'll never meet you. So we come into the streets and we call people to lose this life because judgment's coming. Jesus promised he's going to come back. And the good news is there's a goodness to God. And most people in the church system are teaching the goodness. Oh, he loves you, and Jesus died for you, and just believe in him and go to church, and everything's going to be okay. You're going to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says all that he loved the world enough to die for him, but you know the only people that are going to get the love of God?
People who follow the conditions.
Who's going to get the wrath of God?
People who don't.
And that's, Jesus said, few are going to find eternal life. And that word few in Matthew 7 means a puny number of people. A puny number of people. That word means puny. 8 got on the ark. That's it. There could have been 100,000 people, 1 million people alive. 8 were spared. 3 came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And historians say that Sodom and Gomorrah probably had tens of thousands of people. It was like a major trading port. 3 come out. Ready for this one? In Israel, as the Israelites are rebelling, I don't know how much you know about the Bible, they were stubborn, stiff-necked in the desert, complaining about God. We should go back to Egypt. At least we had food. They're grumbling. They're complaining. God says, fine, you bunch of wicked, stiff-necked, rebellious people. Out of 600,000 men, do you know how many God let go into the Holy Land?
How many? 2.
Joshua and Caleb.
Oh, wow.
Here's a little number for you. And I don't hold me to this number for America. It's just a reference point. If you take 2 to 600,000, take that percentage, 330 million people in America, I don't know the exact math, it's somewhere between 1,200 and 1,500 people out of America would be saved. It just gives you a little bit, that's like the size of a stinky small town, and everyone else in America will be judged and lost. So very few are gonna find the kingdom of God because most are caught up in this life, their flesh, they're keeping what they've been taught, man-made religion. They're not scouring the scriptures, and the truth is right there in the Word of God. It's not hard if you're willing to seek it, but if you're blinded by your career, oh, my fiance, man, she's really beautiful, and I'm going to marry her. She's not into God. I'm going that way. You're never going to see the Word of God. You're never going to see the truth. God blinds your eyes and puts scales on. But if you go, Lord, if you're real, if what that guy is saying is true, show me. I'm going to read, and God will open your eyes. The lights will come on, and you will get a hunger and a desire for God's word if you commit to him, and he will fill you up with the living water. That's what the Bible talks about. So I love to preach to people the goodness of God, that love, that grace, that mercy, that Jesus came. There's a severity. And when a police officer shows up, he's going to tell us, hey, you guys are nice citizens. I'm glad you're keeping the law. If you don't, I'm going to come and arrest you. And if I can't handle it, I'll call 30 of my buddies. Goodness and the severity. There's always that balance in God's creation. And so we have to be very, very careful as we live this life that we're seeking after the Creator, the one that made us. He knows your heart. He knows. The Bible says the hairs on your head are numbered. Think about that. The hairs on your head are numbered. God knows you so very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he calls people to know him. He calls people to come and seek him. You gentlemen want a gospel card to eternal life?
I'm going to do my best for speaking.
Oh, you need to repent of that. That's man-made religion. Check out my website, don'tperish.com. I'd love to hear from you sometime.
Okay.
Test it. You're following the traditions of men. I love you enough to tell you, you got to come out of that. And Jesus said, didn't Jesus say we have to worship in spirit and truth?
Yes, of course he did.
The Baptist faith isn't in the truth. I love you. Test yourself. The Baptist faith comes along in 1620s. They keep all kinds of worldly ways. They're feminized. They're into pagan holidays, Christmas and Easter. They're into buildings. They're into one man standing in a wooden box preaching while all the men sit there. Oh, what time is he going to be done? When the true body of Christ, when it gathers, you know what it's supposed to be? All the men bringing what they have to share. a teaching, a psalm, a question, a testimony.
How do you feel about Catholicism?
Roman Catholicism is a false religion created in about, everybody argues, they say they started with Peter. No, Peter, here, I can tell you they're false right here. Ready? They say Peter was the first pope. I can prove he wasn't. Go read the book of 1 Peter. You know what Peter says he is?
What?
Fellow elder.
Oh, okay.
Peter himself says he's a fellow elder. Peter was not the first pope. The Roman Catholic faith comes along probably in the 6th to 9th century sometime when they installed that pope system. And then the world went into the Dark Ages. You've heard of that. You know what the Dark Ages are?
Oh, yeah.
What are they?
Medieval times, loss of knowledge, not much progression.
Do you know why that is? The Roman...
Part and fall of Roman Empire.
But the Roman Catholic Church took the word of God that would have inspired and enlightened people, took the word of God and hid it. And they said, you got to come to our priests, you got to come to our systems, you got to go through all of our man-made, jump through our hoops. They don't preach the gospel I just told you. They pray to Mary, they do the Eucharist, you got to go to the Pope, you got to go to confession. None of that's in God's word. That's all a false man-made system. So the Roman Catholic system kept the world in darkness for years. Then Martin Luther comes along, and he did one... Martin Luther did one good thing. Martin Luther was a baby baptizing, which isn't biblical, Jew hating. He said, baptize a Jew by putting a rock around their neck and throwing them in the river. True. It's on my website. I have his quotes. Adolf Hitler used Martin Luther's books in World War II to make people hate the Jews and kill them. Martin Luther did one good thing. He translated the Word of God into German and eventually got translated in English. That's about the only good thing he really did. Everything else, he took a bunch of Roman Catholic traditions with him. And the Roman Catholics murdered about 50 million people. They have, it's true, in the name of God. And the evangelicals weren't much better because when they left, then when people were rebelling against them, like the Anabaptists, the evangelicals, John Calvin, they were killing people. So any man that would kill someone in Jesus' name... That sound right to you?
No.
All right, let's go to America, the American Revolution. I just seen an ambulance drive by. God bless America. That's a favorite saying. When I preach, I tell people, no, not God bless America. He's gonna judge America. You got a false God. You know how America was founded?
I know the classic, 1776.
Right. The war, American Revolution. You know what it was fought over?
Taxation without representation.
They weren't coming over raping and pillaging our women and children. They weren't coming over doing that. The Boston Tea Party, 3% tax.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. If I got a bunch of my brothers together with guns and dynamite and sticks, and we went to Washington, and we went to war and started killing senators because we didn't like that our income tax went up 3%, would you call us heroes or terrorists?
Probably terrorists.
America was founded on killing in the name of God. Think about that.
Yeah.
And George Washington was a deist. He was not a biblical man. Thomas Jefferson, I love. If you go on my website, I have street preaching from Mount Rushmore. Lots of street preaching videos. I love to preach at Mount Rushmore. I preach and my wife takes a video and there's Thomas Jefferson and George Washington carved in stone. Thomas Jefferson, an American so-called hero in God Bless America, took a penknife and cut out every word of Jesus Christ in his Bible. He was an antichrist. He didn't even believe Jesus was God. But yet America lifts him up. Does that sound like somebody should be lifted up if you're a Christian?
Not at all.
So these are all these false ways that America, and you heard me tell that Baptist man, Jesus said you must worship in spirit and truth. So your charge as a young man is to go, I don't know what your belief system is, you could share it if you'd like. Who is Jesus? Is his word true? And if it is, how does your life line up to it, whether you're of a faith system, you're of the culture? And on judgment day, you're going to hear one of two things. Well done, good and faithful servant, because you heard my son, you came to him, you kept his word, and you obeyed as hard as you could. Or, away from me, I never knew you. You're a worker of iniquity. So you're going to hear one or two things, and so am I. And I'm striving to hear well done. And in Revelation, it says, you can become a pillar in the temple of God. You know how? By just believing and living like the world. By keeping the Baptist faith. By keeping the Roman Catholic faith. No, it says by... Basically, Revelation talks about being in Christ and overcoming. Overcoming. And we're going to have to overcome because tribulation is coming. You've probably heard about it, the Great Tribulation. I believe the world's headed into it. The technology in the world's being set up. The Bible says in Revelation that everyone will take a mark of a number. They're getting that system ready. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Can you see it coming? COVID. COVID wasn't the mark of the beast, but you know what it was? It was an exercise run. They're seeing where they are because they're getting ready. Israel had... the green passport. And basically, you couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't go into restaurants. You couldn't go to work. You couldn't go in parks. Unless you got the green card. It's the card that's coming. And I think what's going to happen is one day, I've been telling everybody this, I might not live to see it. I might. I'm 60. Maybe God will give me 20 or 30 more years. When cash goes away, it's coming. Either crypto or digital money. When cash goes away, we're close. Because you know what happens when cash goes away? You probably got some cash on you right now. You got freedom. You can go anywhere and buy anything you want, right?
Yeah.
When cash is gone, what happens?
Freedom's gone.
Freedom's gone, and they can go, we don't like that guy no more. Shut his account off. You're done.
Yeah.
That's what's coming. And they're going to be able to control everybody by saying you bet. And China is the model of this. In China, everyone's monitored. They all live in a digital platform. They tell you where to work, where to live, how many hours a week to go to park, how many children to have. And if you obey all their rules, they give you extra little money in your goodie account. And then they say, you can go to McDonald's twice this week and you can do this. That's the model for the new world order that's coming. And it's all predicted in the Bible. The Antichrist is going to rise up and he's going to rule this system for a short time. But then Christ is going to come back. He's going to vanquish it. Christ said he's going to come back. And in 2 Thessalonians 1, the first time he came as a baby in a manger. Everybody loves that. Oh, the baby in a manger. He's so proud. And Jesus is all love. Oh, people tell me all the time as I preach in the streets, oh, God is just all love. You're talking about stuff. God's all love, really? 2 Thessalonians 1, 8, 9, and 10, it says he's coming back in flaming fire to destroy all those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. Does that sound like the little baby in the manger?
No, it does not.
He's coming back as the Lion of Judah. He's angry. He's going to come back with anger, and he's going to pluck out his own in the great harvest, and most of the harvest is going to be the chaff. You ever see a wheat field being harvested?
Yeah.
The wheat is like the little granules on the top. So if you look at that wheat field, about 99% of it is chaff. The little wheat grains get taken off, put in the hopper, and everything else, what? Gets blown out the back. The harvest is mostly going to be chaff. That's going to be the people that God's going to judge and put into fire. And there's going to be a very small amount of people, Jesus said few, that are going to be harvested out in the coming. So I just go to tell people and wake them up. Don't live for this life. I know people have to work. I worked my whole life. That's how I support myself. I don't take people's money. But don't live for this life. Don't live for the passions of this world. Don't live for the flesh. Set your eyes and your heart on eternity, and God will transform your life, and he'll use you as a vessel to glorify him. Because that last thing I'm going to tell you, and then you can say whatever you want, and you can walk away. You've been gracious. Your life, your whole purpose of your life, you walk through this world and go, what is this all about? It's 7 billion people on earth. This is craziness. People that hate, people that love, people that are weird. Men don't know they're men. Women don't know they're women. We're killing little babies. God created you for his glory. That's your job. Not for anyone else. Your job is to live for God's glory. That's why he created you.
Okay.
Yeah. So my website teaches all of that. Go to the teaching blog. All for free. We don't take people's money. And my email is on there if I could ever encourage you. You've been awesome to listen to. Any questions or anything to share?
Yeah, I have a few. My first is how often do you do this? Like you said, you travel around.
That's all I do. Okay. This is all I do. Okay. This is my job. People drive by, yell, "Get a job!" I go, "This is my job." I retired, and I go, "I don't take anyone's money. I support myself." They're like, "Oh," I said, "I worked 45 years of my life." So this is all we do. We work online. I teach online. We disciple people. We go out in the streets. We do a lot of events. Like we're headed to an event. We just came from some down in Georgia, some azalea festivals. I preached. I never thought the day would come. I preached at a wild chicken festival.
There's
a town called Fitzgerald. They actually have wild chickens running around.
Oh, wow.
It was a big street festival, so I like to preach there. We stand outside religious places and we preach. We don't interrupt their services, but we stand outside like that was the church. And you know what's crazy? Men like you never call the police on me. I witnessed to the homeless guys in the gutter. They never called the police on me. I witnessed to motorcycle gangs. 20 of them standing around me. I witnessed to them. A lot of times they go, "Get out of here." But they never called the police on me. You know who called the police on me?
Who?
The modern pastors and the religious people.
Yeah.
They hate when you come and call them out because they're prideful. We got it. Like the Baptist guy. Look, he wouldn't even stand and talk.
Yeah.
He's probably headed down the road for business. Did he care about me? Jesus said, "You will know them by their love." He didn't love me. And if I never hear from him, if I'm wrong, here's the thing I always tell people. Oh, look at this guy. You gonna make this?
Oh, man, that is...
If I'm wrong, does that man love me if him and his pastor don't contact me and try to teach me right? Is that love?
Probably not.
No, not love at all. And what happens is, Jesus said in John 3, 19 through 21, the light has come into the world, he's the light, but men love darkness, and they run and they hide in the dark. So when I show up at religious places, or I ask them to, hey, I do a testing of your church, check this out, I think you guys are wrong, they run in the dark and hide. They run. What do criminals do when the cops show up?
Run and hide.
Run and hide. But you and I are like, oh, we didn't do nothing. We're just standing there. If 20 cops showed up with lights, we'd go, what's going on? We'd just stand in here, right?
Yeah.
But if we were guilty, what would we do? That's what modern pastors do. And I always tell people, the only people that don't like modern pastors getting called out are modern pastors and people that support modern pastors. Everybody else goes, yeah, if he's taking people's money, he should get called out. They're wasting money on things. They're telling people you should give them 10% of your money. That's not biblical. They're putting in bigger churches and sidewalks and widescreen TVs and programs for the kids when Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel. None of that's changing anyone's life. You surely know people that are Sunday church goers are a bunch of hypocrites. Are they not?
Probably.
They live just like the world, you know. So you asked me how often I do this. I do this all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you drive like state to state?
Oh, yeah. Doing it? Oh, yeah. We migrate like the shepherds in Israel. When the grass is good in the mountains, we're up there. When the winter's coming and the grass is better in the valleys, we head down there. So when in the wintertime, because we spend a lot of time in the central and northern, east and west part of America, we go down to Florida. And we're not sitting on the beach eating ice cream. We're every weekend down there. You can't throw a stick without hitting events. There's farmers markets. There's art fairs. There's, yeah, because it's the land of eternal summer. Have you been to Florida?
Yeah.
It's the land of eternal summer. So we go down there. It's a street preacher's haven down there. There's millions of people everywhere. And then we do that for a season, 2 or 3 months in the winter. And then now we're working our way north. And I think this year we're going to head into the Midwest. And then we're going to feel out, probably go through Indiana, Ohio. We just go wherever I feel the Lord leads me, and we stand out and preach, we do events, here comes my wife. And really we just call people, and very few people will listen. Very few people heed the call. Most people have been deceived to believe it's enough to just believe. Read your Bible for 5 minutes, maybe go to church, and then I live my own life. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus said you have to lose your life to find it in Matthew 10. If you haven't lost your life in Christ, you don't really have eternal life. Kind of like when you go to get married. Hello, sister.
Hi.
When you go to get married, if you don't lose your life for that woman, are you really committed to her?
I guess not.
And if she doesn't lose her life for you, is she committed? So that's what it takes. It takes a complete losing of your life, which is a testing of what we're living for, how we live, what we're doing, versus what God says we should do. And this culture, I didn't preach on this. I need to. There's two kingdoms. The kingdom of God in Christ is what I've been preaching to, the gospel, how to find it. The other kingdom, there's only one other kingdom. It's the kingdom of Satan. This is Satan's world. Yeah. Everything that God didn't create. Now, the trees, the grass, the water, the people, the animals, that's God's cosmos. He created that. But look at the systems, the bars, the politics, the movies, most of the businesses. All this stuff is really Satan's kingdom. And the job of Satan is to distract you from seeking the kingdom of God. And hey, look at this, bells and whistles, isn't this nice? Hey, you could be a veterinarian and be, you know, make a lot of money, and you could do this, and it's all stuff, you know, look at this movie and look at this. And that's why these churches are so corrupt. They change the message to fill up the building, because if people preach the way I preach, you think I'd ever fill up a building?
No, it's the truth.
The truth sends them running for the door. And in the New Testament body, the front door of the church, I don't like that word church, ecclesia, the called out ones. The front door was real narrow, and you got in by Jesus Christ alone, repentance and following him and wanting him. The back doors were real big and wide open. If you sin, I'm putting you out. That's how you keep the body pure. The churchianity system today is the opposite. The front doors are wide open. Welcome everyone, come in. They're inviting everybody in. People that just want to live in willful sin, come on in. And they don't call them to repentance and to lead that. And their back doors are really small. They don't really church discipline or body discipline anybody, put anybody out. You almost got to bring a gun in there and start shooting at people before they throw you out, because they want you in the pew. They want to influence you with their false doctrine. And the root of it is Satan. Those are Satan's synagogues. All of those religious places are the Bible calls it the synagogues of Satan, because they're teaching lies. Lies mixed with error. Or excuse me, the truth mixed with error is still a lie. Think about that. You take a little truth, you mix it with error, it's an error. Because a half gospel is not the full gospel. If I give you directions on how to get where I live, and I only give you half the directions, can you get there?
Yeah. Probably not.
No, you need the whole path. And so a lot of times people are teaching people a false gospel, like God loved the world enough to send Jesus. And he did. But tell them the other part. Jesus said, now if you love me enough, you'll lose your life. You'll repent and follow me. You'll lose everything in your life that is counter to me. And you'll be glorifying to me. You'll be a vessel that I can use, not living your own life, but becoming a servant, a doulos. And a servant, what? Doesn't care about his own desires. He cares about the desires of his master. And most American Christians, they're living their own life. They're living for themselves. And I know I was that when I was still in the evangelical system. Let us know if we can ever help you in the faith, sir. Check out that website. So that's if you're going to follow Christ, it's going to be a very lonely walk. You know two saints right here. What was your first name again?
Devlin.
Devlin. It's my wife, Debbie.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Pleasure.
I saw you talking to some people down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. But anything else? Yeah, so we do it all the time.
What do you think is, punishment for, like, indulgence in worldly...